a little bit noise.
No, I thought you were floating away like in a trance or something, but should be good.
I came back. Kind of like Matthew McConaughey on True Detective.
Again, yep.
This conference call is going to be dedicated to True Detective. Whatever happened to Matthew McConaughey, too? He used to be like a terrible actor. I guess he was a good actor, just in terrible movies, and then all of a sudden he started doing good stuff. I don't know. Nate Offert, 30,193. Joe DelVecchio, 30,494. Sarah Pappas in fourth place, 30,580. It's kind of close to all those, but really everybody is. I mean, third place, Kevin Purdy, 31,362. Ashley Jones in second place, 31,685. So you basically have five people at the top there, all within about $1,400. And then Brad Smith, who we have on the call today, number one, 34 apps. He was also number one in application count, 34 of them for $34,269. Great month of February. Sorry I'm a little late on those, but I wanted to make sure they're called out the right ones. Great month of February. Certainly, Casey, up substantially from last February. And, guys, you know, I've been saying this, but, I mean, up 75 to 100 apps a week just from 90 days ago. I happened to tell Danny Young that the other day, and he wants to take all the credit. I had to agree. I said, we get you on a conference call 90 days ago, and look what happened. I don't know.
Exactly.
Yeah. So we appreciate it, Danny. Thank you. Top five for the weekend production this week, and it was a good one, man. Nate Offert, $9,935 in production. Bernie and Sue Hinojos, some of my favorite people, $10,192. Terry Garvey, $10,882. That's eight apps, Terry. Good job, man. John Truesdale, $10,912. And Kevin Purdy, $14,934 on 14 apps. He led the way in app count and APV. A great week for you, man. Had 12 first-time riders this week. Michelle McGraw, Jack Stewart. Might be hearing that name a little bit more. Ibrahima Diakiti. I think I just nailed that name. First time I've seen it, I mean, I won't brag, but I feel good about it. Chris Sullivan, Rashunda Parker, Suta Paxi, Michael Calhoun, Melinda Opney, Skylor Holmes. It's a pretty good name right there. Skylor, I bet is what it's supposed to be. Skylor Holmes. We could have somebody there in the running for name of the year. Dean Sharp, Robin Davis, and the number one producer on the first-time producers board is Mr. Christopher Orr, director Paul Honeycutt. I tell you, Paul Honeycutt had a great week in first-time riders. Ed Orrell, great week. Ed Orrell had one, two, three, four first-time riders. Congratulations, buddy. Base shop leaderboards, actually, getting ahead of myself. Key leader leaderboards. Top five, Kent Bachman, pushing to break out. Let's see if he can do it. 14,000. Mike Casey, 15,948. Ashley Jones, 16,418. Jimmy Spill Dinner, 19,805. Nice work, Jimmy. I'm just looking down the list to see what Jimmy's personal production was on that. And Jimmy only did 5,236 in personal production. I say only. That's a great week. But when you're a key leader, Casey, and you're up and coming, to be able to do 19, you know, call it 20,000, it was 19,800, and to only do, you know, 25% of that, hey, man, you can't beat that. That's what I love to see. Good job, Jimmy. And number one, Nate Offert, 22,429. Nate did 9,000 of that himself. So speed of the leader, speed of the pack for most of these people. Unbelievable key leaders. Keep that going, man. Base shots. Top five, Pritchett, 28,801. That's just in the base. Josh Wise with a great week, 37,849. I'm not sure if that is, but that could be a record for Josh Wise. Getting up to that 50,000 a week mark, man. Love to see it. Kevin Purdy talking about killing it, 43,174. Second week in a row, just shy 50 for him. Marshall Whalen, 46,182 in the base. And Wonder Twins, Unite, got you on the call today, man. Y'all killed it last week. 50,242 for Matt and Brad Smith. What a great week. for you guys. Top five, Honeycutt, master agencies. These are people that also have broken out agencies with them. Number five, Brian Delaney. Let's just call it Honeycutt. Brian Delaney, 52,558. Paul Honeycutt, 61,868. Great week. Marshall Whalen, 70,464. Team Sylvester, 86,297. And Edward Pritchett's master organization, 143,228. On a tear, buddy. On a tear. Matt and Brad Smith, are you guys all logged in? We got you guys and Nate on?
We're on.
All right, man. Just want to make sure. So we'll turn it over here for you in just a second. We've got some important stuff, Casey, to hit here on March Madness. Brackets will be, if they're not already out, will be out much sooner in the coming weeks. But real quickly, Sarah Pappas moving forward. She'll be taking on Ben Sipapour. Well, that's going to be a tough battle. That's this week, man. We're right in the heart of it. Sarah against Ben. Sarah Bailey against George One Team Matthews. Nancy Dominguez, she moved forward. She'll be taking on John Truesdale, who had 9,000. Where is that? Let me say this. I mean, he's a queso conquistador who had $10,912.92. Now, can you keep that up, Truesdale? That's the question. Marlon Faulkner moving ahead to take on Dustin Drahomarecki, who was not even in that bracket. He poncho vetoed. He came in, stole it. He pillaged the village, 5,487. He's staying alive. Pretty impressive stuff. Taquito Banditos. The captain of the Taquito Bandito team survives. Jimmy Spildener moving ahead to take on Matt Smith. Man, we're getting to it quick. Like Matt Smith had 8,460 last week to Jimmy's 5,236. I don't know. See if Jimmy, the number one seed, can hold off. Matt, kill him. Lisa Brown, congratulations, taking on Steve Dickerson. Kevin Purdy against Chris Cook. Larry Griffin against the Golden Pen winner, Sweater Vest, Doug Suttonfield. And the number one upset of the week, Cinderella story, Colin Gillum, a 16 seed, comes out of nowhere, Ohio, to beat, out of Columbus, Ohio, not nowhere, Ohio, Columbus, Ohio. Took down Joe Delvecchia, a one seed. Unbelievable. He'll be taking on Rowdy Eric Rowden. Ed Orrell taking on Terry Garvey this week. Ashley Jones against Kent Bachman. And Kent Bachman had a big week last week. Ashley, you better come to play. And Kent, you know you better come to play. Ashley can do it. But Kent had $9,000 last week. I remember right. Brad Smith taking on Elaine Sapp, who also poncho via the bracket, took out Billy Death Threat Dickerson because she had $5,448 in production. So Elaine Sapp lives to fight another day. Nate Offert against Bernie and Sue Hinojos. That should be a good one. Nate, that should be a good one. I think actually last week you guys were, what, third and fourth on the leaderboards? So we go Scotty Boy Stern against Nettles, Rinaldi against Mark Lutoff, Steve Wilson. Congratulations. Expecting big things out of that bracket. And that's a big one, too, because Wilson was a wild card play-in, and he came in, and he's a chupacabra. What did he do? Chupacabra Wilson did $9,100. Steve Wilson, $9,100, just killed it. Just destroyed as a wild card play and just killed it. Be taking on Shell Works, who was a 12 seed, who took out Janet Matthews as a 5 seed. So we had a lot of upsets, Casey. I love this contest. Love it. All right. Couple things, though. There was one or two people that would have progressed. However, they did not have their conference registrations in. Shame on you. In order to play in the redemption round where you're fighting for an iPad, you got to get them in. We'll give you till Friday. Managers, you hear that? Kellen will send them out again. Make sure, I mean, all of you have already gotten the notes and know who has and who has not registered the conference. But there you go. A lot of contests going on. Check your leaderboards on the website. I don't want to take a whole lot more time here. Casey, I know we've got some up-and-coming events.
Yeah.
This week.
You get your post-conference blitz stuff ready. I'll talk about the Spring Forge, guys. Remember, we have four basically full-blown mini-conferences happening this spring that we that everyone should be registered for, obviously. And if you're building a business with us, you should the question is not whether you should be there. It's how many people are you going to have with you. So we got Baltimore on April 24th, Dallas on May 1st, Indianapolis on May 8th, and Atlanta, Georgia on May 15th. These meetings will be from 3 to 8 p.m., and everyone with the company is expected to be there. I know a lot of the leaders, key leaders and managers are picking at least two of these spots. Some of them are picking three or four, all of them. So we'd just like, again, everyone in the company to just really promote these things and understand the importance of this spot. This is kind of our spring forward is really a way for us to springboard into conference. So that's the meeting is kind of strategically set there. Guys, we've been doing this for more than 10 years now, and collectively, like we were talking about on the last call, it's about 100 years, and we know that from the growth of our company, this is an important time of the year to have some kind of strategically placed meetings, and especially in these markets, these are kind of they're set out. We stared at the map, Brandon, for about a day to pick out these spots to figure out exactly where we feel like we could get the biggest pull. And so these are the spots, Baltimore, Dallas, Indianapolis, Atlanta. They're on the website. Pick a spot. A lot of you guys have already filled these out at some of the local meetings. There's no cost to get to these little mini conferences, the Spring Forward events. You just need to be there, but we do need to know that you're there. So you need to get registered so that we have your name on the seat. Okay. The other thing I wanted to hit was Key Leaders Workshop and Retreat. We promoted this a little bit at conference, but we're getting closer. The dates, again, we're going to have a Key Leaders Workshop. This is an intensive agency building workshop in Charlotte, North Carolina on June the 11th. You do need an invite for that, June the 11th, and we'll show you how to qualify. On Thursday, the very next day after this workshop, so we're going to work hard on June the 11th on Wednesday, and then we're going to play hard on June the 12th. We're going to have a SFG-sponsored day at Lake Norman. We're going to have a cookout. We got an awesome mansion right on the water. We're going to have a couple boats there, some jet skis, swimming, paddle boarding, wakeboarding, tubing, all kinds of fun stuff. So the house is unbelievable. You need to go online and on our website to see it. Just an unbelievable setup here. I'm looking at it right now. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a great time. So that will be, again, June the 12th. The meeting's on June 11th. The retreat is on June the 12th. Here's how you qualify. Between March, April, or May, we need you to hit 50,000 one of those months and 35,000 two of those months with a minimum of four unique riders in March, April, and May. Agency managers are already pre-qualified. So that's how you get an invite to this agency building workshop and retreat. 50,000 one of the months, Brandon, 35,000 in the other 2 months, March, April, or May. So yep. We're right in the heart of March, guys. So, and I believe one of those months is a five-week turn-in. I want to say May is our five-week turn-in.
I think it's May. I'll take a look real quick.
So you can kind of build it. You can just blow past it, hit 50,000 March, hit 50,000 April, hit 50,000 May. Go ahead and break yourself out as an agency manager. Kind of stair step, 35,000 March, 35,000 April, and minimum of 50,000 in May, and you got it. So
yep.
I have a feeling, Brandon, this is going to be the largest Key Leaders Workshop and Retreat we have ever had. I know it will be, and it's going to be the biggest and the best, too, from what I can when I'm looking at here, from all this Lake House stuff. It's going to be a good time.
It's going to be a very good time, and it's great timing on the post-conference blitzes to really – as you were saying earlier on the Spring Forwards, to really start pumping those up, get people there. This is a great week for them. Where are we going to be this week? I got it right here. I know you and I will be in New Orleans, Louisiana. We got Atlanta, Georgia, with Josh Wise, Brian Delaney, Puckett, Jacksonville, Florida will be the, we'll have one going on. Next week, Austin, Texas. I will be there. Pritchett will be there. The C4s will be there. Birmingham, Alabama, and St. Louis, Missouri. And we're inching our way towards the end of our post-conference blitz. The last week will be the 27th, week of the 27th, 28th. Oklahoma City, Phoenix, Arizona, possibly. Washington, D.C. So everybody get geared up. Make sure you get to the post-conference blitzes. Get ready for spring forwards. We'll have more information on those coming out as it becomes available so that you can register for them. It will be a no-cost event. All right. I'm ready to hear it. What is your excuse? Successful people look for reasons. Non-successful people, unsuccessful people look for excuses. And it's amazing to me, Casey, that both of those things can be the same thing. It can be a reason to, it can be an excuse not to. And I think it's pretty safe to say that the guys that we have on the call today, Matt Smith, Brad Smith, Nate Offord, are going to have some great input. I hope everybody gets your pens ready. Feel free to shoot me an email if there's anything specifically that you want asked. If I have an opportunity to ask them, I will do that. But wanted to turn it over to these guys because they've been on an absolute tear as of late. $50,000 in production this week alone. Nate Offord, your organization at $22,429 for the week and showing no signs of slowing down.
Probably making some big waves in the company.
Absolutely. And
it seems like every time we have these guys on the call, Brandon, we just get blown up with texts. Just all kinds of feedback and after the call and meetings when we see you guys, just about how awesome you guys do on these calls and what you bring to the table. So really appreciate you guys jumping on and working with us today.
Thanks, Casey and Brandon. We're honored to be on the call and appreciate you asking us to be on again. We do have Matt and Nate on the call, and the title, What's Your Excuse, is kind of a strong – we're a little hesitant to use that title because – it could come across the wrong way, but the reason we chose that title is a mentor of ours used to ask us that all the time, and it was a driver for us because it's really easy to make an excuse and to say I can't do it because of this or I can't do it because of that. And something we learned was that when you say I can't do something, your mind immediately shuts off to any solutions, and it's just an easy cop out to get things done. So when you say, instead you ask yourself how you can't, you say how can I, all of a sudden your brain starts coming up with solutions. And that's really what the call for us was about today, that just how you break through some of those limiting beliefs that we have and getting out of the mindset of saying that you can't do something. And a perfect example to me, I have so much respect for Nate Offord. Matt and I have known Nate for probably 13 or 14 years, not closely, more acquaintances until Symmetry, but he's had so much success in the past. And, you know, we're in the middle of March Madness. It's a race. And the way I view Symmetry as a whole, it's a race. It's a race for market share. It's a race to reach our goals. And if you think about horse racing, for example, the Kentucky Derby, people are betting millions and millions of dollars on who's going to be the winner, who's the champion going to be. And people try to pick the right horse in the very beginning. And a lot of people who aren't familiar with horse racing, they think that you can't really determine who the winner's going to be until the end. But if you notice, when you watch a horse race and that gun goes off and the gates open up, do the horses come out in a straight line? No, they never do. They come out more in a V shape. And there's a winner right from the very beginning, because a winner's mindset, it doesn't happen at the end of the race. It doesn't happen in the middle. It happens the entire time, right from the time the gun goes off. And Nate is that kind of a winner. Right out of the gate with Symmetry, he got licensed in October. He wasn't coming from another company or coming from another insurance background. Came from zero insurance background. And in the month of November, when it was, again, a race, just like it was November to remember, and people are at their best, Nate still was number one in the company as far as volume. He didn't win the November to remember. That, the hats off goes to Jimmy for that. but he did have over $50,000 in volume his first month. And he had reasons that he could have quit too, just like everybody does. So, you know, I'm really honored to have Nate on our team and on the call. Nate, if you want to unmute your phone, I know you've got a lot of great knowledge, great experience from your mentor that you worked with for over 10 years on a weekly, daily basis, who made over $1 million a week. So, Nate, if you are you on the call?
I am, but I have my notebook and pen and paper out to hear you and Matt talk more. No, I appreciate the nice things you say, and then I appreciate even being on the call. And like I said, you know, only being in Symmetry for the last 4 months, a lot of times I feel silly getting on these calls because there's so many other people with so much more wisdom when it comes to the insurance industry and just the background of building a successful agency like Edward Pritch has done, and, you know, just Evan Purdy. I mean, seeing him doing the whole, I mean, at the breakouts, I mean, my level of respect went up to so many of these guys having a chance to be at conference. And, you know, they always talk about conference this, conference that, and, you know, we've all been to a conference, and a lot of times we think boring, or we think, oh, my gosh. And I remember going up to Casey and Brandon afterwards when it was all wrapped up, and I just shook their hands and just looked at them and said, I've been to a lot of trainings, I've been to a lot of conferences, I've been to a lot of meetings, and you guys have figured this out. I mean, for them to make this fun, I mean, these contests, and I hate it because it's like I got other things to do, and I had a major catastrophe in my rental property in Ohio, and the tenant forgot to pay the water bills, so their eight pipes broke and flooded the entire house last month, and you know, and my God, I spend probably 4 or 5 hours a day on the phone with the insurance companies, going back with the attorneys because they don't want to pay due to negligence on the part of the homeowner and the clause in there. And I'm just like, oh, we really have to do this November to remember now. And it's like it kind of goes along with what's your excuse. And at first, you know, I remember even telling, I think it was you, Brad or Ed, I said, man, don't expect me to do a lot of volume in February. I got a lot of stuff going. And I hung up the phone thinking, what am I doing? Why in the heck did I just say that? I felt like an idiot because I'm like, oh, I teach people no excuses. And so, you know, even in February, you know, I wanted to do more volume than 30,000, but, you know, I thought, okay, great. I got to figure a way. How can I balance my time to take care of this home that's 2,000 miles away and make sure that the, you know, it gets dried out and the contractors are getting in there and make sure to see how I can deal with the insurance companies and this, that, and the other. But, you know, it's funny, you talk about the horse races and stuff, and my mentor always taught me too that there's four types of people in life, right? He said draw like a pyramid, right? Like a triangle or a hierarchy. He said there's 3% of society that are achievers. They love challenges, they're self-motivating, they're problem seekers because they're problem solvers. And he said then there's the other 10%, and he said they're harder to spot because they have a good self-image, they're confident, they look the part, but they're what's called the thinkers. They're always overthinking things, and they basically complicate the obvious. It's like they're so much into this think mode and analytical mode, sometimes it's hard, especially to identify them on your team. And then he said there's 60% of the people that are just contemplators. They think about everything. They don't do anything. They're constant full of excuses. They have the woulda, shoulda, coulda you concepts, you know, in their mind. They always value everyone else's opinion. It's like, you know, I think it was the leaders call or maybe the call the prior to this when they were talking about the system that they're developing within, you know, within Symmetry and how they're advancing and how the advisory board has gotten together and making some just phenomenal changes. And they talked about, you know, the confusion because, you know, you might have the success and you're not booking the appointments. And all of a sudden you look at someone else's opinion who may not even have as many appointments as you want, but they change the verbiage of the script. Or they change this a little bit about what they say in the home, or they knock with their left hand on the door instead of their right hand on the door. And then it's like, oh, maybe that's the key. Maybe that's the thing I'm missing. I'm using my right hand on the door instead of the left hand on the door. And they start to contemplate and they're always thinking about, should I do this or should I do that, instead of just focusing on achieving. And then he told me that 27% of the society are contaminators. They're negative, they're critical, they're argumentative, these leads are horrible, I can't believe I spend money on this. And it may be an area, it's funny, I have guys going and working areas that I worked and did 50,000 in volume with on $5 leads and $3 leads, and it's amazing just to listen to them complain about the same leads that they got that I worked. not that those same ones that I work, but the same areas and calling behind people like Ben Safe before. And we're, you know, we have a little tough road to follow out here in Texas because we're not calling behind, you know, some guy got started in the industry before. We're calling, you know, get behind some of the best people in our B leagues in terms of Ben Safe before and Michelle Works and, you know, you name it in that organization that's growing. He said, but these contaminators, you know, risk equals failure. You know, he said, you know, they never win at anything. And unfortunately, a lot of the contaminators are our friends and our family and our relatives, you know. And he told me the first thing you got to do, Nate, is you got to cut out the contaminators in your life. You got to get rid of them. You are who you hang around. We don't need to do a whole call on that. He said, get rid of the contaminators. And then you got to start, first of all, take inventory on yourself. This was the hardest thing for me to do because I was a contemplator. When I met my mentor, I was an extreme contemplator. I was so worried about what my friends thought or my family or my relatives or what this person thought and everything else. I know a lot of you guys on the phone are way past that, but I wasn't. And he said, take inventory of yourself. He said, are you an achiever? Do you love challenges? Does risk equal success in your mind? Are you self-motivated or do you need to be motivated by others? You know, when you have a problem, how do you handle it? You know, do you try to seek out problems? Because, you know, he taught me something else. He said, you know, the more problems you have, the more money you make. And the more money you make, the more problems you have, and they're just bigger. They're more fun because you can usually pay for them, but they're just bigger problems because you got more money and more stuff to deal with, and they're bigger issues and bigger problems. And again, when that happened to my home, guys, don't think I was jumping around plotting. I mean, there was over $75,000 of damage. We just got an estimate back, a 100-page estimate of damage to the home, and I wasn't doing cartwheels and, you know, running outside and jumping into the swimming pool because I was excited about it. But, you know, I still had that feeling of, oh, my God, here it comes. And my brain has been trained so much to go from the excuse mode into, okay, here's the problem. God gave it to me. He gave me the ability to overcome it, and how do I overcome it? And when I look at Brad and Matt, I mean, they are the epitome of achievers. And I wouldn't be here today on this call without people like Matt and Brad, without people like Edward, because I have to be around people that are achievers. I mean, I look at these guys. I mean, I can't give them enough credit, and I really mean that. And I know some people go, oh, you talk about Matt and Brad so much and Edward, and you should take credit for yourself, and I can't. I can't take credit for myself because Matt and Brad and Edward and Paul Honeycutt and that organization and that hierarchy is why I'm still here. Because I looked at what they accomplished. I mean, here's Matt and Brad. You know, you guys know their story, and some of you are probably tired of hearing about them because, you know, the Matt brothers, the Smith brothers, I don't know what other name you guys got for them. But to me, I mean, it's like what an inspiration to see what's possible for two people to come in and having zero experience in the industry. They didn't even know what a whole life in term was, and they'll tell you that. And to watch them get started less than a year ago, I think it was like end of March and April, and to watch their team, you know, them go out there and start writing business and making $8,000 or $10,000 their first month and going out and slowly starting to build the organization in 6 or 7 months, you know, start doing $50,000. I know they did it in between there, but I know consistently in their 7th month, 8th month, 9th month, doing $50,000. And then jumping up to $100,000. So, you know, the end of December, their team's doing $50,000 3 months in a row. And then in January, they're doing over $100,000. And then this week in March, they do over $50,000. And I just look at that, and it's such an – I mean, talk about achievers. You know, when you hear them talking, the reason that you get your phone lit up, Casey, after Matt and Brad are on the phone or they're on the stage and, you know, they're doing a you know, even a consultation 101 is because – I've never heard Matt and Brad make an excuse. You know, Brad's out there driving 3 hours away to run appointments, and Matt as well. I mean, Brad didn't even have A-leagues in his area. And when I was getting started, he's like, oh, it must be nice you got, because I was like, wow, I only got 4 A-leagues this week. And it was like a month and a half into it. He goes, well, that's 4 more than I got. And I was like, wow, you know, and again, it's just like having that ability to produce from the front and lead from the example. You can't. That's respect that you earn. And I know I want Matt to talk because, I mean, it's like, you know, Matt and Brad just has us having conversations. And I'm so excited to have a team around me like this. And, it's I think we got to stop doing our conference calls on Sunday nights because we do our team calls. And it's like we get done and, you know, my wife's like, aren't you done the call? We're out there for an hour talking on the phone about the call we just did. And I can't sleep on Sunday night. And then Monday I'm tired. But, you know, I mean, Matt, I know you're on the call. I'd love for you to talk about some of the stuff that, you know, you're doing, because I know that you you know, you have a lot of excuses, especially in the area that you're at, of why you shouldn't be doing what you're doing. But I'd like to hear more from you.
Yeah, well, yeah, thanks again, guys, for having us on the call. We're really excited to not only be asked to be on the call, but to host the call. It's a big honor. But this is definitely a topic that I'm excited about. I'm passionate about it. You know, I was always taught from my mentor that, you know, winners find solution, and he said that losers make excuses. And he said, you know, anything in life, winners will always find a solution. And that's always stuck with me. And so the minute that I start thinking, wow, is that a winner's mentality? And so, you know, like Nate said, I've had the privilege of giving up some of my territory to some of my team, which has caused me to drive a minimum of 3 hours to 7 hours away to work leads. And what I'm always thinking about is what kind of story am I creating? But it all comes down to, you know, this winner mentality, a loser's mentality. It all comes down to excuses. And it reminds me of an analogy that I love that Zig Ziglar told about how to train fleas. And when I first heard that, what do you mean train fleas? How do you train fleas? And we hear the, you know, thing about flea circuses, and which, you know, it's just really a bunch of BS. There's no fleas in a flea circus. They say that they're there, but you can't see them because they're so small. But you can literally train fleas. And so you got a guy here that's he's done it before. And what he did is he put fleas in a jar, and he trained them to never jump out of the jar. And they're jumping in there, but they're never jumping out. And so one of the spectators said, how do you train a flea to never jump out? Because you know that fleas can jump several feet up in the air, and they could easily jump out. How do you get a flea to never jump out of the jar? And he said, you have to train them to think that they never can jump out. If they believe that they can never jump out, then they never will. He said, well, how do you train a flea to think that he can't jump out of a jar? It seems like it's instinct for them to know that they can jump out. And he said, you've got to put the lid on, and they're going to jump, and they're going to jump. They're going to hit their head on the lid over and over and over and over for days. And there's going to come a time where when you look in that jar, the flea is still jumping, but he's jumping just barely to the lid and not hitting his head. And at that point, he said, you can unscrew the lid and take it off. And the flea will just jump right up to the rim and never jump out. Because he's learned that it hurts. So we know when we see the flea that the flea could jump out. The trainer knows that. The flea thinks that he can never jump out. And that's always stuck with me, because how many of us go through life and maybe we've had some bad experiences, maybe we've tried hard before and never succeeded, and we're trained in our heads that we just can't do it. And so what we do is we start making excuses on why it's not working out. You know, there's not enough leads in my area. I don't have any money for leads. Or, you know, my wife or spouse is not supportive. Or I can't drive that far. And we all have these excuses, but really what it comes down to is our belief that we can do it. But what he said was there's actually a way that once you've trained a flea to do this, to not jump out, there's a way to get them out. There's a way for them to get them to jump out. And so he said, well, how do you do that? He said, you got to put the jar over a stove, and you got to turn up the heat. And there's going to come a time where the heat on that jar is going to hurt their feet more than it hurt their head to hit that lid. At that point, that flea will jump out of there. But what a lot of people don't realize, you know, you got people like Nate that, you know, I hate to compare him to a flea, but, you know, he's going to jump 3 or 4 feet out of that jar. But it doesn't necessarily take that to succeed. It only takes just a little bit higher than what they're jumping. They're jumping up to the lid, the rim. It just takes jumping a little bit more to get out. So I just love that analogy. But we got these people, and I've been one of them. I've been a victim of my own excuses, and I'm stuck in my little jar, and I'm looking out of this glass jar, and I can see other people jumping out, and I can see them succeeding and then becoming free. And what we need to do is throw away our bag of excuses and up the heat. And sometimes it takes getting uncomfortable, because that's what being in that jar is. That's become comfortable. We've become comfortable making excuses. We become comfortable in our environment. And we've got to become uncomfortable, more uncomfortable in our environment than what it takes to jump out of our environment. And that's one thing that I love about Nate, is that he understood that from the beginning, and he never makes excuses anymore. In fact, he sets the bar. He wants to not only know, can I do this, but how far can we go? What's possible here? And before Nate did that, before he did 50,000 his first month, if you'd asked me if that was possible for a brand new agent to do 50,000 his first month, I would have said, there's no way. You have to know more about the products, and you have to know more about the system, and you got to know more about this and more about that. And I'd actually start making excuses for new agents. But then when he went out and did that, he set that bar, and he actually showed what was possible for a brand new agent to do. I thought, wow, look at my limiting beliefs that I'm placing on new agents. So I just love that Nate's part of our team. I love where the team is going. I love that he's on this call. So I'm just really looking forward to where things are going.
Yeah, and it's funny, Matt. It's funny you say that, because it's you say I set the bar, but when I was on the phone with you and Brad, I remember Brad was saying, you know, because of his condition, the situation that he was in, and you guys just lost your business, and you know, they always talk about stories. Facts tell, stories sell. You know, you got to create stories so other people can be inspired to have that same results. And his story to my team, his story to the recruits I brought in, story to me, made me feel that it was possible. Because he jumped out of the jar. I mean, he was working one day a week. I never forget this. And he made it a little bit easier than it really is. It'd make it sound a little bit easier than it really is, Brad. So I still hate you for that one. But he said, I can only work one day a week. And, you know, because of their religion, they can't even call on Saturdays. We'd be making his calls Friday nights and on Sundays. And if that's, they can't, they choose, you know, not to work on the Saturdays. That's their Sabbath. And he'd say, I only worked one day a week. I could only be in the field one day a week. And he said he made over $10,000, I believe it was his first month, at over $20,000. So my brain's just sitting there going, okay, well, if – and that was his first month, no experience, never wrote an insurance policy, just passed his test. Didn't have any background in the insurance industry, didn't, you know, work with another company in the past or anything like that. And I'm thinking, well, if he worked one day a week and did 20 or close to it his first month, what if I just worked two like the rest of the people in the company are? Or what if, you know, if I had to and I didn't get the number of appointments I did, I wasn't good enough to protect my schedule, as I talk about. And I wasn't that good in the beginning, guys. It's like we always talk about Rick on Monday, Tuesday, and because of, you know, my children and different things in that nature, I can't work on Tuesday. Maybe I could squeeze one appointment in on Tuesday night, so I'd be out in the field on Monday, and Wednesday were my days. But there were some days, I know it's probably bad, but I went out on Thursday for two appointments because I didn't get the 10 appointments I wanted on Monday and Wednesday. Or there was a day I had to pick up an appointment on Friday because I wasn't that great at protecting my schedule in the beginning. And I always talk about to my agents, don't try to be great at everything in the beginning. It's like if your goal is to get 10 appointments, get your 10 appointments. If you got to make an exception and work on a Thursday one day, or you have to, and I hope I'm not going against what the company teaches, but, you know, it was like once I got good at that and booking my 10 appointments and getting a better feel for being in the field and realizing that, you know, Irving, Texas is – an hour away from, Mesquite, Texas, even though it's in the same county. And I started getting through all the mistakes. And, you know, we always said, don't be afraid to make mistakes. I think Linwood talks about this. All the top leadership talks about this, guys. And it's why I always feel so funny being on the call. I feel like I'm doing a recording of what the calls I've heard them do in the beginning, and I'm just kind of summarizing what everything that they taught us already. So I can't take credit for it. But he said, go out and make a mess of it, and we'll help clean it up. And, you know, having that inspiration, too, from Brad and Matt, what they already accomplished, it's like, you know, and then you have people like, you know, Danny Young coming in here with his organization. And I love what he talked about with the 40 acres. You know, he talked about, you know, we all have 40 acres, and they give you this tool. I can't remember what tool it was. I know, you know, I'm not a farmer, but and they go, here, dig the field. And what are you going to plant in the field, and how are you going to take care of your field? And you know, and then Ashley, I believe it was, or Sarah Pappas, I think it was Ashley last week, talked about how she was having people drive her around in the back seat of her car laying down. Talk about an excuse. I get agents, I'm sick today. I have a really bad cold. It's going to be really hard to make calls today. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Here's someone laying in there. They can't even physically stand up. They're laying in the back of a car being taxied around. Not only was she good enough to do that, but she was good enough to convince someone, hey, can you drive me around for 2 days while I lay in the back of your car so I can run my appointment? And I'm thinking, what? That's why she's winning, you know, and that's why people in the organization, I hate to talk about people because there's so many people, Jimmy Spildener, you know, winning, you know. I mean, hats off. I couldn't have lost to a better guy last year. And it's like my mentor taught me, and I want to kind of end with this guy because I don't want to get too long, but, you know, I was taught, and I think the advantage that I have that I was bring to the table and the advantage that all of us on the phone have, and again, I feel like I preach to the choir because most of the leaders on this phone know all this stuff. They read the same books. They've been mentored by mentors, and they're mentoring others. You know, but I was taught, you know, anyone that exceeds at anything, you know, if they want to excel at it, not succeed, but excel at it, not be average, but anyone who excels at anything, they attack it with a passion and a vengeance. They attack it with a passion and a vengeance. And my mentor said, Nate, you have to be like a hurricane, a tornado. It'll show, you got to show there's evidence that you were there. And if you do that and you're not worried about the details, you'll be amazed at your results. And if you think about a hurricane and God, you know, God bless the people that went through the Katrina or you know, even a tornado, I mean, it's not sweet. They don't have a planned route. It's not like the hurricane comes in and announces itself and says, we're going to go, you know, 5 miles up the shore. We're going to take a sharp right. You know, once the water starts flowing in there, we're going to go underneath into this canal. We're going to all of a sudden come back and circle back and go out to the ocean in 4 days. It just comes. That hurricane comes. That tornado comes, man, and there is evidence, definite evidence that it's gone through. And so, you know, when I got started, I didn't do everything right. I did more things wrong than I could do right. High blood questionnaire, I need that. Are you kidding me? What do you mean I can't, you know, I can't correct the application after I leave their house? It's just a signature, you know, and there were so many mistakes that I made, but I guarantee I never made the mistakes again. Phone interview in the house.
There are currently 2 participants in your conference.
I guess we're talking to ourselves. It said there's only 2 of us here.
Just me and you. Me and you, Nate.
But I mean, and again, guys, and it's funny because you talk about the circus, you know, and you talk about the fleas and the circus and the trainer and stuff, and I'll leave you with the last thing that I guess it really changed my outlook on excuses or what your excuse is. You know, my mentor told me about the story about, you know, the elephant. And, you know, I think all of us have been to circuses before and we've seen the elephants. And I think back in Danny Young's day when they used to put up the circuit tents. They didn't have the big machines and everything, but they used to at one point in time. I don't know how long ago, but they would put this big harness on an elephant, right? And if you look at a big circus tent and you walk into it, I mean, they're hundreds of feet high, right? And I used to always think, well, how do they put those tents up back before all the, you know, machinery and everything they have now? And they used to use the elephants where they'd put a harness around the elephant and they'd tie it to that center pole. And basically this elephant who could pull a tractor trailer down a street, you know, if it walked for a house, it would be destroyed. And they measure them in tons, not in pounds, in tons. And this elephant would just get, you know, the trainer would walk the elephant down, he'd slowly walk in there, and then they put the tent up. But yet when you go outside of the circus, and if you guys ever been to the circus and stuff, and now they, you know, because of all the different things and liability insurance and stuff they have, you know, in different areas. But back even when I was a kid, you used to go walk around, and you could see the animals, and you'd have these elephants. And they'd be staked to the ground with a rope. I used to wonder, too, like, yeah, this big old elephant just put up a circus tent, could drag a tractor trailer down the street, and you got this little teeny piece of string or rope attached to its ankle, and this little, you know, tent peg, this tent stake in the ground. And if you ask the trainer, similar to the flea analogy, but you ask the trainer, how does that elephant not move? Like, how does that little rope, that little piece of string, you know, that stake keep an elephant from going anywhere? And he'll tell you, you know, ever since the babies, elephants are babies, they'll take this big chain and they'll tie it around their leg. And they dig a hole 3 feet, 4 feet into the ground, and they would pour cement into it. And they would cement that chain into the ground. And this little baby elephant would tug, and he would tug, and it would pull every day, every week, every month, after months and months and months. And every elephant was different, they said. Some elephants it would take us a week. Some elephants would take us 6 months. The longest one it took was a year. He said, but once that elephant sets in his mind that no matter how hard he tries or no matter how hard he pulls and tugs on that chain, that he's not going to go anywhere, he's not going to get free, we take the chain off, we stick a little rope around its leg, and we put a tent stake in the ground. It'll never get away. And to me, that's funny because I know the elephant get away. You know the elephant get away. The trainer knows the elephant get away. But now this baby elephant, a lot like us, right? Our friends, our school teachers, our moms, our dads, you know. Some of you guys may grow up in a family where you had supportive moms and dads, but, you know, we were told, you can't do this and you can't do that. And get your head out of the clouds and put your feet on the ground. Start being realistic. You're such a dreamer. You know, it's like, and a lot of us, you know, got that, you know, get grown up. And a lot of us, you know, I was programmed. I was an elephant with a little string around my leg. And I really believe everyone on this phone has more talents and abilities than we believe we have. And it's no doubt in my mind, guys, because I know where I was. I know where I'm at today. And I know where I'm going. And it really almost freaks me out or frightens me that I think that I was convinced at one point that this little stake and this little rope was holding me back. It's like every time a lot of us, we get new challenges or we have new things that happen in our life, and we immediately, it's the rope and the stake, the rope and the stake, you know, symmetry, leads. Oh, my goodness, rope and the stake, rope and the stake. And that little rope is, what if it doesn't? What if it doesn't work? What if it doesn't sell? What if I can't do it? What if no one answers the phone and leaves? What if I can't build an agency? What if I buy leads and I don't make my money back? What if I don't buy leads and I don't make my money back the first week, and I buy them again and I don't make my money back again? What if it doesn't stay? You know, what if it doesn't pay? What if it doesn't? What if it doesn't? What if it doesn't? And my mentor said, you got to cut that rope, Nate. Okay, go on. He said, cut the rope. Change that what if it doesn't to what if it does. What if it does work? What if you do buy leads and you double or triple, quadruple your profit? What if you're able to go out there and do half of what Matt did his first month or half of what Brad did his first month and you make $5,000 instead of $10,000? What if you are part of a company like Symmetry that I truly believe will create more millionaires than any company in history of the insurance industry with what Casey and Brandon and the top leadership has developed? What if you have a chance to be a part of it and you didn't do it? You didn't cut the rope. What if you look back and go, yeah, you know, you're 65 on Social Security, talking to your grandkids, and they go, man, this company Symmetry, it's just blowing up, and it's everywhere. Well, I could have. I should have. I was involved for a little bit, but it just wasn't the right timing, or it didn't work for me, or those leads aren't as good as they say they are. I was more afraid of that when I got involved in an opportunity, even with Symmetry, than what if it doesn't. And at some point, and I know the leaders here, you guys cut that rope a long time ago, but there's a lot of new people on the phone that haven't cut the rope. We all hang around other friends that, you know, every time you start trying to pull on the rope a little bit, they go, you can't do that. What are you doing? Don't pull on that rope. You know you can't get free. What are you thinking pulling on that rope? You know, how long have you tried to pull on that rope? You need to come back to reality here. You're not going to get free. You're not going to succeed. You're not going to fly. And isn't it funny that the elephant that could fly, they named Dumbo? He was so dumb and stupid, he didn't know he could fly, and easy fly. And I think a lot of us are guilty, guys. We're guilty of being afraid of putting our feet where it hurts worse than our head. We're afraid to put our feet on the heat. We're afraid to buy more leads than we can afford. We're afraid to book more appointments than we think we can sit on. We're afraid to make phone calls to people that are going to tell us no. We're afraid to recruit people that we spend time with and energy with that end up not doing it. And the one thing I guess I can credit my success to, and there's plenty of things, and God is one of them, but I've always looked at my life like a battery. And I'll challenge you guys, when it's called, to look at your life like a battery. And a lot of people, you're around them, and it's like they're saving up their energy for something. It's like you're saving it. It's like, you know, you have the full potential of the battery, and you got three-quarters of it, you know, or a third of it used up. And I look at it, you know, what's the sense going through life with three-quarters of your potential left over? You know, when I go, I don't want to be there and go, hey, look how much energy I had left in my life. I don't want to get to heaven and God says, hey, man, boy, look at all this potential I gave you. I gave you potential to do this. And I gave you the skills to do that. And look at what you did with your life. What are you thinking? I want to get up there and get a high five. And God goes, way to go, man. Here's all the potential. You used it all. You did it to the massive potential. You didn't make excuses. And I put a challenge in front of you, and you went over that challenge. I just want to know I gave it my best. You know, I envision when I get buried, so, you know, if I go before couldn't you guys keep seeing Brandon? I don't want the tombstone that says rest in peace. I don't want the tombstone that says in loving memory. I want a simple tombstone. I could care less if my name's on it or not, and I want it to say all used up. That's all I want. All used up. I want to have all that potential that I got, the potential I didn't even know I had until someone who believed in me more than I believed in myself showed me how to have, and I want to have that be buried with the tombstone that says all used up. And I know for me, guys, I just got excited. I got excited about my life. I got excited about, you know, taking that stake out of the ground or ripping out that stake and ripping off that rope and cutting that rope and starting to live life with a passion and excitement and enthusiasm. And I really started caring more about my life, guys, and one of the turning points when I started caring about my own life and what it was like as opposed to worrying about what other people thought about my life and what it was like, that was a major change. I mean, that's what life's all about. I know God gave us all potential on the phone, and the scary part is that most of us don't even know what it is. Most of us don't know what it is. But I really believe, and I truly am appreciative of being on this call, guys, but we all have potential, and we all have excuses. And I think it's our job, really, to start finding what our potential is and to reach it. So I just appreciate having some time to talk to you guys. And again, Matt, Brad, and Casey, and all the leadership. I'm really thrilled to be a part of this company, this team, this family. And I'm excited about what the future holds. And, you know, let's get going.
Good job.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely, guys. I hope you all understand that, you know, everyone that's listening on these calls, you know, Brandon and I get just as much out of the Wednesday national call as you guys do. I mean, these calls are, and that's why it's so important for new people to plug into these calls, because you hear people like Matt and Brad and Nate, who are the right people because they work on themselves. They got those intangible things that so many new people, when they come on, they're more in the mechanical mode. And, you know, this thing, it's the right place, it's the right time. I think we're all aware of that. But when you hear, Brandon, when you hear guys like Nate and Matt and Brad, you're reminded again that it's more importantly, you got to have the right people. Right people, right place, right time. And you guys are the right people because you're students of the business and you're students of yourself and your thoughts. And all, self-limiting thoughts, all of those things. You guys are very aware of that stuff. You're aware of the value of mentorship, and I just think it's so refreshing for everyone to kind of hear that from you guys, and that's why you're getting the results you're getting. And we congratulate you guys for that. But awesome call. I keep hearing your phone buzz over there, Brandon. You're probably getting the same text message as I am.
I am.
The people fired up. So love it, guys.
Yep.
Thank you so much for being on the call.
Yeah, man. Appreciate you guys.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Great week. Yeah, man. Everybody, let's get out. Keep it going. All the
March Madness. Full swing.
March Madness. Yep. You guys keep it running. Everybody have a great week. We'll see many of you tomorrow night in Louisiana. See ya.